What's up, Clippers? It's us.
It's your boys.
Yeah. I don't know why I said, what's up, Clippers? We're not directly speaking to the team. What's up, Clipper fans?
There we go.
This is Locked On Clippers.
Dang
part
right.
of the Locked On NBA Network.
We're here.
I'm your dude, William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm positive Chuck Mockler.
We got another heck of a show lined up for you today. Teams on the road, doing their best. Second night of a back-to-back. We're going to close with a game preview against the Washington Wizards tonight. Big return for Marcin Gortat. Possibly a show-out game from Austin Rivers. Find out more about that later. It's Tuesday, which means Twitter Tuesdays. That's our weekly segment. Charles, what do you got lined up for this?
Weirdly scientific this week.
All right. I'm here for it. We're going to open up the show with a full-ass
recap.
Just a thick recap of last night's game against the Hawks. All that and more coming up for you right about now. Before we get into it, though, Charles, you like cars?
I love cars.
Are you looking to buy a car?
I don't have one.
Well, let me tell you where you can get one. If you go to Metro Infinity, they're at 821 East Central Avenue in Monrovia. That's just off the 210 in Monrovia.
Of course.
They're the only dealer in California that's family-owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years.
Dang.
Must be doing something right. So one of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity, you probably don't like going to the dealership.
I don't like going outside.
That's what's holding you back from getting a car.
100%.
Well, Metro Infinity, they got your back. They will bring a new car and all the paperwork you need to make it legal. I'm doing air quotes. Completely legal.
Good.
They'll roll up to your house. They'll roll up to, your office. You drop a pin, they're there. And if you mention Locked On, they're going to give you another $500 off of any car purchase.
I need that.
That's free money, dude. So if you're thinking about a new Infiniti or even in the market for any new car, give them a chance during your business. They support us. You should support them. You won't regret it. They also have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinities. You can reach them at 626-599-7510. Or if you don't use the phone, because who does? Check them out at MetroInfinity.com. Right now, you can lease a new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded. It's got navigation. All it's going to cost you is $1,000 down and $325 a month plus tax. That's it. $1,000 down and a low monthly payment. Plus, mention Locked On, you get that sick $500 off.
I might get an Infinity. All right, let's recap the game against the Nets. Oh, no, it was against the Hawks, but it was exactly like watching the game against the Nets.
Very similar. Very sluggish kind of start. Although,
almost the same score.
I got a great note.
Yeah.
Gortat won himself a jump ball.
Hey.
Might be the first one all season.
He's 1 for 16 at this point. The Clippers won 127-119. Only 1 point off from the score against the Nets, which is pretty spooky if you ask me.
It is. Who cares, though? We're tied for first in the West.
Tied for first in the West. Let's get some of these stats out of the way for you. Montrezl Harrell led the way with 25-11 and 5 steals and 2 blocks.
I got some stuff to say about Trez, but I'll hold it in.
Okay. Tobias had 24. Mike Scott with 18, going 6 for 12 from 3. Which
That's
is great. Unbelievable.
The regional manager, hard at work.
Oh, yeah. And then Lou Williams had 16, 7, and 11. Shea had 16. All-around effort to really save this win.
Yeah.
Trey Young destroyed Patrick Beverly. He ended with 25 points and 17 assists. Doc on the Beverly-Bradley-Shea lineup said, it was okay, not great. I thought Avery, I made a mistake. I should have put Avery on Trey to begin. I was worried about his ankle, but I'm going to put him on the floor. I should put him against our best player. Think that was an interesting quote. I don't think it would have gone any different if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd be curious to see it. I thought Avery Bradley, well, he did get switched on to Trae Young later in the game, and I thought he did an admirable job from what I saw. I don't know. Trae Young just seems like maybe he's hard to defend. I can't really tell.
I think he seems really good.
Yeah, he cooked Beverly. He cooked Shea.
That's what I mean. Like, if you watch him just cook Beverly, you're like, well, I guess I can try and put Avery Bradley. I don't think it's like an immediate. Also, couldn't you just do the switch right away?
Yeah.
Couldn't you just be like, hey, I'm doing the finger motion where you switch. Can you just switch?
Yeah.
All right. So our bench saved us again.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both didn't want a catch-up game, and that's
100% what it was.
What was this, a hamburger?
We did lead at 10.
Yes,
by
we
10
did.
At one point. So,
but it was still a little odd. Boban helped us out with 12 points in 10 minutes. Again, not really sure if that was like part of the game plan or Doc was just like, oh man, I hope this works.
You know, I thought that he did well. I I was surprised. I guess I didn't think about this going into the matchup, but they outsized us.
Yeah.
Especially in that lineup with Avery Bradley at the three. I don't think that that's something that's going to work.
I think, yeah. I'm hoping it was just because Gallo was out.
Yeah.
He looked small.
That's never going to work.
For sure.
They outsized us, and they definitely took advantage of it, outscoring us in the paint in that first half. Yeah, I don't know.
The fourth, we outscored them 38-23. The Clippers closers, as I'm starting to call it.
I like it.
came alive. Let's get into just a quick timeline, I guess. Like you mentioned, in the first half, they just killed us down low.
Yeah. We missed a ton of shots at the rim.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what I wanted to talk about with Montrez is this has been a growing issue for me. I love so much about Montrez, but he doesn't have the best touch around the rim.
Yeah, like it's either a dunk or it's that 8-foot hook, but there's no real...
Yeah, sometimes it's just kind of bad. I mean, he went 5 of 10, which is fine. It's not great if most of your shots are coming in with... Yeah, within 5 feet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That just can't happen.
Yeah, I agree 100%. He's almost like too fast when he comes. He's legitimately the best roller off of pick and rolls in the league.
Uh-huh.
But it's almost like he's going 100 miles an hour and he's maybe kind of not getting set before he can, like, you know, we talk about how Gortat never dunks, but it's like maybe sometimes Trez should just hit a layup.
Yeah.
You know, maybe get a little bit of touch around the rim. He absolutely killed at the foul line, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into those numbers later. 60 fouls were called in this game. And I think only Justin Russo had a tweet. I think only 12 were called in the first half.
yeah, I mean, I was kind of surprised because I still felt like guys, especially our guys, were taking a lot of contact and not getting some calls.
It was a weird... The refs have been goofy as hell this year.
Yeah,
like every game we've watched.
I just really never know what to expect.
Yeah. We mentioned down low. My guy, a guy that I really wanted us to get for some reason, Alex Len had 12 boards. Dwayne Dedman also had 12 boards. We actually won the rebounding battle 52-51.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like we did.
No, I can definitely see that. I don't know. They have bigger guys. Alex Len, like, he had a great night.
Dude, he looked pretty good.
He looked good.
I was kind of like half joking when I first mentioned this, but now I'm like, he wouldn't be a bad fit with the Clippers. He's a young athletic guy.
Yeah, he really wouldn't. That really wouldn't have been a bad pickup.
Crazy that if you leave Phoenix, good things happen.
Yeah.
Shocking. The beginning of the third quarter was kind of like watching that Thunder game. It was just like the weird ISO play that didn't really work. Like a ton of points in the paint given up on defense. I was really bummed. I think I had a tweet where like we record this podcast at work, but we might have a couple of beers if we lose by 10 points to the Hawks. Like people were down, and then weirdly Milos got thrown in, and like played pretty good defense against Trae Young.
Yeah, I thought Milos looked pretty solid. I mean, I'm a fan of those three guard kind of lineups, as I've said multiple times on our
Avery freshies. Bradley is the three.
Yeah.
Well, a lineup that you almost kind of called, I'm going to say that you called this lineup. They closed the game out with Shai, Lou, Tobias, Mike Scott, and Trez.
Yeah.
That's an Updike lineup right there.
Oh, 100%. 100%. That's
one of your dream lineups, I would say.
Yeah, that's one of my faves.
It was a really fun lineup to watch. It obviously got the job done. Scott hit three huge shots in the fourth.
I feel like we can't say enough about Scott. He had such a great game.
He played so well. I had to listen to the last like 3 minutes on the radio because I was driving,
mm-hmm.
which, man, I hadn't listened to a game on the radio in a while. Love it.
Great.
Unbelievable experience. Anyway, he was showing out.
This is totally unrelated, but yeah. I streamed the game and I could only find a Hawks stream.
Oh, that's not bad. I kind of like watching the...
But they kept saying Gortat, which seems like something I would insult him by saying in the locker
Gortat.
Room.
Gortat.
All right, whatever, Gortat.
The Hawks announcers are from like Minnesota for some reason. Like, it's Marcin Gortat. And it's from Illinois. A lineup that really helped us early in the fourth, late in the third was Milos, Lou, Trez, and Boban. Mike Scott was in there too. That's a goofy lineup, but it helped us out.
Yeah. I mean, should we talk a little bit about this Boban thing too? I think that...
What thing?
I mean, I just think that last night was the perfect night for him to get some more minutes.
More than 10 minutes?
Yeah. Finished with just under 10, and Gortat had 16, and I think you even take four of those minutes from Gortat and give them to Boban.
They should play the same amount of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know about longevity-wise how would work out for Boban. And, you know, it's sometimes just pretty obvious when he isn't working.
Yeah, he's
you know what
guy,
I mean?
I think it's honestly because he's so big. You can just be like, ah, it doesn't have it tonight.
Yeah. No, definitely. But I think for that exact reason, it's like maybe we should start utilizing him a little bit early in games, especially in games like this where we were so outsized.
Yeah, it was...
If you're playing Avery Bradley at the freaking three... You gotta have
freaking three.
You gotta have somebody bigger, I think, at the five. I mean,
and why not have literally the biggest guy at the five?
Yeah.
He was crazy efficient. I'm almost like, I mean, you know how I feel about like quick switches. Just do tons of switches.
Yeah.
When you can sub people out, who cares?
Yeah.
And it might be an issue with rhythm. I totally understand that. Do you want to talk about how Beverly and Bradley just can't play together offensively?
Man, I hope that this is just Avery Bradley like regaining his footing, but he went 2 of 7 from the field, 0 for 2 from three. I think Patrick Beverly had he had identical stats except for he went 0 of 3 from three.
Dude, like the offensive rating was 78 for Bradley and 71 for Beverly.
Yeesh.
From your theoretical starting backcourt.
Yeah.
That is awful.
It's not a good.
And their defense... we'll get into some of this in the game preview against the Wizards, but I was kind of poo-pooing Avery Bradley's defense. But you pointed out...
I thought that he was, like, just... This is purely based on the eye test, because if you look at the box score, it's, like, really not that impressive. Yeah. But watching him out there, I do think that he's a difference maker, and I think that he was agitating on ball. I think that he was getting his hands out there in passing lanes and stuff. You know, he still isn't like the most, I still feel like none of our squad is that switchable. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I think they have the physical,
like Shea.
I think they have the physical tool set, even a lot of them
for sure.
I just don't think the communication is there. I mean, we talked about it, we touched on it briefly, but like in the pick and roll, we got absolutely destroyed.
Yeah. That mostly is Gortat's fault. We'll get into that against the Wizards, but like there's plays where, LA Clippers film room, if you're listening to this and you want great analysis, go follow them on Twitter. They did a really good breakdown of Gortat's pick and roll, quote unquote, defense, where like, you know, a guard will switch, he'll go underneath the screen, or no, excuse me, he'll go over the screen, which is fine. And then Gortat just like would just back up when the guard who's dribbling at him was dribbling at him, he would just back up and not really cover the picker or the roller.
Huh.
And he's grounded, so he can't defend lobs.
Yeah.
So he was just getting killed, and it leaves everyone out to dry at that point.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you have a big dude who can't challenge Trae Young at the rim.
Yeah.
Like, it was insane.
I think that, like, I don't know. I mean, our defense has fallen off so hard.
Last 6 games, we are the 28th ranked defense.
I know, and I know that it can be hard to get it done on the road, but if that's going to be part of our identity, which I don't even know if it is anymore, to be perfectly honest.
Think it is. Not right now. We're getting wins, but it's like...
Like, that's where you got to put in the work. And, I mean, I get that our guys are, like, getting tired, and it's been, like, it's not even that long, but it's been a road stretch. But, yeah, that, like... I don't know, man.
At least, like, the effort's there?
I don't think the effort is even there, man.
I don't think it's there from Gortat, for sure. I feel like we really won this game on the free throw line. We had 47 free throw attempts, and they had 19.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of insane.
Major.
One quick note, another note about Marcin Gortat. Apparently, pregame, he usually eats pasta or salad, but when he goes to Atlanta, he makes an exception for, I know what you're probably thinking, a hyper-local Atlanta-only restaurant, right? Nope. Chick-fil-A. A Chick-fil-A, the same Chick-fil-A that we have 3 blocks away from the Staples Center. I was almost wanted to punch my computer screen when I read that tweet. I was unbelievably mad about that. Marcin Gortat is rapidly becoming my personal least favorite Clipper on the team right now. Anything else you want to say about this game? It was a real sloppy game.
It was a real sloppy game. I don't know. I'm glad that we can like kind of, I mean, I guess I'm glad that we've still been able to like pull it together. We'll talk about it later, but it just makes me really worried about tonight.
Yeah. It's not like confidence boosting wins.
It is not.
It's not.
And these should
all.
Be like,
and like the Nets one, I'm kind of like if it's one of them, I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But 2 in a row.
Yeah.
Of like bad to play.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I feel like we're not necessarily getting outplayed so much as we're just not playing that well.
Yeah, and we're also letting them play at our level.
Yeah.
Our defense is letting them like match us and stuff like that. Coming up after this break, guys, we're going to be going into Twitter Tuesdays. But first, if you follow any of the Locked On podcasts or anything like that, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It kind of aggregates all of the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering your favorite sports. It's great during games. There's like quick highlights and stuff like that. On Instagram, you'll get a little longer stories than on Twitter just because of the story feature. So check out Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram. So Twitter Tuesdays, usually a little, we got some fun. We got some weird science stuff in here right now too. There was a study done on late night tweeting and how it affects shooting stats in the NBA. Meaningless study? Perhaps. Informative? Kind of. The biggest effect appears on shooting efficiency. On average, 112 players shooting percentages 1.7% lower in games following late night Twitter activity. Even worse, when players tweeted between the hours of 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., shooting success rate dropped a staggering 3.6% overall.
Interesting.
My question is it just because they're up late or is it because they're tweeting? If you're up at 3 to 6 in the morning and you got a game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is a smear campaign against Twitter because I don't know why you would do that, but I feel like this is maybe just more like, you know, it's not causation.
No, I feel like it's definitely an indication that your head isn't quite in the game. Mm-hmm. I guess I'd like to see this data like extrapolated a little bit more to see
a whole season.
Yeah. And like what their other sleeping habits were, like maybe
rate of tweets.
Yeah. Because I think that like some of the stuff can also be related to other issues. Like that's, you know, like I think that the tweeting is maybe it's not the cause, but it's like a it's like an effect of a bigger issue. Like if you're anxious or something like that, I think it's a little bit easier to be like online.
Yeah, if you're if it's 4:45 in the morning and you have a game at 5 p.m. the next day, yeah, you're probably not looking at memes for like a healthy-ish reason.
Yeah,
like you're probably like, damn, I can't sleep and I'm sad.
Yeah, so I guess I don't necessarily see like the Twitter thing as like a direct causation or like necessarily being impaired, but I do think that the overall issue that's maybe leading to that behavior is more to blame.
Yeah, it was kind of like when everyone was like worried about Fortnite in the NBA, and it mm-hmm. was like, I got to get rid of my Xbox. I'm playing too much Fortnite. And it's like, maybe have some healthier habits. Also, yeah. To kind of touch on this, I didn't really think we were going to dive into this, but this popped into my head. Does it feel like the push for mental health awareness has kind of just gone away in the NBA?
Yeah, I kind of think that we stopped talking about it.
Do you think it's because the Cavs are bad and Kevin Love is like the most famous person to talk about in the NBA?
What do you mean? DeMar's having like the best season of his career.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I think it kind of disappears. I don't know. I like have kind of an ongoing issue with this, that it's like important for 2 seconds.
And then it's just like gone.
Yeah. And I guess like the way I always like phrase it to people is that like we care about mental illness for like 2 seconds when Kanye is going through something and then
for sure
kind of forget about it.
That's a really good point. Yeah. I just hope we see more stuff about it.
Yeah.
It seemed like they were kind of pushing a lot of stuff almost weekly about like mental health articles or like that kind of great stuff. And it's just gone now.
Yeah. But I mean, hopefully more stuff like under the surface or less in the public eye is going on.
Very true.
I hope that organizations are getting a little bit more well-rounded in that aspect and kind of encouraging players in whatever way they can to, you know, at least have the tools to do what they need to do.
And I think there's only a couple teams that have like an in-house mental health.
See, that I kind of understand. I understand it being a little bit strange to be completely candid with someone who is on the payroll of your employer.
Works for sure. I guess more so I'm like, because I'm a big proponent of mindfulness. It seems like, because a lot of NFL teams have mindfulness guys. NBA teams that seems like it would benefit so much.
I think something like that would be great, and that could be like funded by the team, but any sort of like deeper analysis or anything like that is probably best left to an outside neutral party.
Reference, for sure, as opposed to real employee.
Yeah.
Real quick, one last thing. Clipperholics, fantastic website, fantastic Twitter feed, tweeted out, Montrezl Harrell is the best Clippers power forward of all time. And then right underneath it, they said, just kidding, we still love you, Blake. Patrick Beverley retweeted it and said, facts, big facts. You think that's an anti-Blake tweet or more just pro-Trez?
I think it's just pro-Trez.
Yeah, they don't have any weird history between those two.
No.
Some of the replies were very funny.
I would like to see, I mean, I just wish that we could run more lineups, whether it's Boban at the five or whatever it is to have Trez in more of the power forward position.
Yeah.
And like playing the same role.
Bully ball.
But yeah, playing the same role that he does now, but still having like, I guess the safety blanket of having one more body, like big body.
Bigger
out
guy.
There.
Definitely. Guys, that's been Twitter Tuesdays. If you're new to the podcast, we do that every Tuesday. Coming up, we're going to be doing a game preview against the Wizards. But first, Will, do you enjoy legal sports betting?
I mean, legal?
He does. The issue is, where do you do this?
I'd rather not disclose.
That makes sense. Well, you should check out mybookie.com. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar.
Wow.
Use promo code EnterLockedOn to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MYBOOKIE.
And don't forget, how else would it be spelled?
And don't forget to use the promo code EnterLockedOn when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid.
So, should we just launch into this preview against the Wizards? I think we're both feeling not a so good.
Not a good. I don't think anyone, Clippers Twitter is real shaky right now, which I totally identify with. They're coalescing at the wrong time for us.
Yeah.
We might get smacked.
Man, it could happen.
You know, like...
It could really happen. They only lost to the Trailblazers by 10 points, which, I mean, if you're the Wizards, that's practically a victory.
That's a dub. That's half a win. But this seems like the perfect situation. They've had, like, I don't know, what are they doing? They're hitting each other with 2x4s at practice and stuff like that a couple days ago. They're cursing at each other. And now they're starting to, unify against that. Like, it feels like we're maybe in this thing where they're going to be playing the team that's tied for first in the Western Conference.
Yeah, you think the Wizards are coalescing right now?
I think with pure rage of being tired of being talked about by everyone else, they're going to try and come out and put on a show.
What are you basing this on?
Nothing. Pure brainstorm.
They're 0-2 in their last games.
No, I know, but it's that swelling.
That's fair.
No one's been punched.
Swelling is always positive in sports.
Yeah, absolutely. It just seems like they're maybe ready to like unleash all of their fury.
All right.
That they have for each other.
Yeah.
On us.
I mean, I'm sure they're mad at us. We dumped on them at home.
We smacked them. And we're tired. Gallo might not play.
Gallo, I do not think Gallo will play.
Let's probably assume he's been sick. Luka Mbamute is not playing. What do we need to do to win?
Well, we gotta not suck ass.
Yeah, there's one quarter where we're just like, basketball. I'm not here for that.
Who?
What? I don't know. I don't know basketball. Basketball, not gonna happen. We need to avoid the ISO heavy stuff.
Yeah.
With like the no real sets and everything like that.
Yeah. Our assist ratios are actually identical to the Wizards.
Weird.
We're both tied for like 21, I think, in the league, which is
nice.
Not great. but I think that some good ball movement tonight is really going to break down their defense. I mean, they're already like 29th ranked in defense.
Yeah.
I think if we get the ball moving just a bit, we can really open the floodgates. As you know, the spicy spaghettis, my man Corey Maggette says, you got to move the ball from side to side.
If you're watching the game tonight, keep track of how many times Maggette says moving the ball side to side.
I love it. I mean, that's just fundamental basketball.
It's one of those things that's just always right. So you're like, okay.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
It never doesn't apply.
Spicy spaghetti, that old Corey Maggette. We got to win the rebounding game. We're 14th in the league and they're 26th. We are going to be very tired.
Yes, and we are going to be tired.
We're not going to have Gallo, who is a big body to take up space. Could be a Boban game?
I think that it should be a Boban game. I'll get into this a little bit later, but like they are a larger team.
Yeah.
They have like multiple 7-foot dudes and then like some bigger forwards.
Yeah, I think we're like 14th and 15th or something in turnovers. So not being sloppy is really going to help us out.
Definitely.
Will we not be sloppy? Probably not. Let's get into what could go wrong.
Yeah.
We come out exhausted.
That's really going to be an issue.
And Wall and Beal just destroy us on the pick and roll.
Yeah. If John Wall starts hitting threes tonight, it's going to be an issue.
I don't even want to think about that.
Our interior defense is really going to be tested, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, like I just said, they have some big dudes.
Big dudes who play more physical than Marcin Gortat does.
Yeah. And no Dwight Howard, most likely tonight. He injured
his butt still hurt.
Yeah, it's like a Yeah, it's a glute or hamstring.
Honestly, this is probably just a running joke he has with the trainer, and he's not hurt. He's like, no, put down my butt, sir, dude. I'll just put down my butt, sir.
He just doesn't want to play?
No, he just thinks it's so fun. The joke is better than him playing. So he's like, this is how I'll help the team out.
I have a friend. Well, my girlfriend has a friend who was allowed to skip school by her grandmother anytime she wanted, as long as the grandmother got to write that the reason was diarrhea.
That's a good deal.
So if she was willing to suffer the embarrassment of everyone thinking that she had diarrhea, then she could miss a day of school.
Every time she missed school, people would just feel sorry for you after 10 days. They'd be like, oh, take it off, man. Go home. I like your note in here about Austin Rivers.
Oh, yeah. What kind of game do you think he could have?
He could have a, hey, dad, look at me. That's for all the Simple Plan fans out there. Yeah, he could just maybe go off.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Me neither.
He's averaging like 7 points a game right now or something. He's somehow,
which is criminal.
It is. I think that he's being underutilized, and I don't think that the system is really supporting him. I think Kelly Oubre ends up jacking up a lot of shots on that second unit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think that he's getting the same kind of off the dribble play as he did with the old clips, but you never know. I mean, he could show out.
Maybe.
I guess. Why am I even talking about this?
We just talked about the pick and roll. So with Gortat involved in the pick and roll, there's no hope, I guess, for containing it.
Yeah.
He doesn't contain the ball handler. He doesn't blitz at the ball handler. And he just, yeah, there's no rim protection. If Ian Mahinmi, hopefully.
Jan. I think it's Jan. Jan. Pronounce Jan.
I apologize. We just got to get the pick and roll defense figured out. It doesn't, anything at this point would be better than what he's doing.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, that's just the modern NBA. I don't get how you have guys who can't defend the pick and roll.
Defend it?
I mean, what are you just planning that you're going to play the 76ers 82 times in a season?
You might. The new NBA. They take about 6 more 3-point attempts than us per game. If they start hitting, that's bad news.
Yeah, their percentage is a lot lower than ours, but if they manage to make them fall. You know who I'm hoping has a show-out game, just speaking of threes?
Hmm.
Three-general manager.
Oh, man. Oh, Another one?
I hope Mike Scott just dumps all over his old team.
The way this team's constructed, he could very well just have two back-to-back great nights.
Yeah.
Let's get into these key matchups really quick. Battle of the backcourts. P-Bev and Bradley versus Wall and Beal.
I don't think that's going to be the lineup.
You don't think it's going to be Shea and...
I think it's going to be Shea and Pat. Yeah.
That'd be nice.
I think that with Avery Bradley coming off an injury, why not just run him on that second unit?
Yeah.
Maybe you could even play him at the three in that second unit just because of how much scoring there is.
Yeah.
And he does kind of cover holes for some of the other guys.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope that the starting lineup doesn't have Avery Bradley in it. And that's nothing against him.
You shouldn't start.
I just think that against a defense as poor as this, we should just put out a quasi-good offensive lineup to start with. Open the gates early. Keep our foot on the gas. And then in that second unit, we can have Bradley in there getting stops. It's not going to work with him at the three. Their guys are too big.
I agree. All right, predictions. What are you thinking?
All right, I'm thinking... I think it's going to be 126 to 120 Clippers. I
think we're getting the win.
I think we're getting the win. I mean, it's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not gonna quit liking the Clippers if we lose today. No, but I mean,
we're not gonna stop doing the pod.
We're on a 5-0 run right now, and I'd love to see that continue just a little bit more. Little bit more.
I think we're maybe gonna lose. I think it's gonna be 120-116 Wizards. Unfortunately, we're gonna end that game preview on kind of a somber note due to me. Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I should have let you go first.
Tomorrow we're going to be talking about a hopeful victory against the Washington Wizards. We're going to be doing what could have been Wednesdays, some Clippers culture talk. And guys, it's coming up December 3rd. We got a watch party at Tom's Urban, LA Live, against the Pels, 5 o'clock. We got drink specials. We got giveaways. Come through.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Great drink specials. Anything that pours is half off.
Unbelievable.
That's Patron. That's beers. That's whatever you want, buddy.
Guys, I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.